Sound familiar? A friend who had more experience as a father was the one to show me otherwise. I guess the men of the church had all they could take of this 2-year-old with the umbilical cord still attached. My wife was the child's willing slave until that fateful day in April. I can still see my friend walking up to the car where we were unloading at a church outing. With the other conspirators shadowed in the background, he came up to my wife, reached out, swept Gabriel away, and said, "I'll take him," and was gone. I couldn't understand what he wanted with that bucking, screaming, desperate kid who was reaching back over his shoulder, pleading with his mother to rescue him. His accomplices closed in behind him as if to prevent any rescue. I supposed the misguided fellows would soon want to return him like one would want to return a coal to its donor. To my wife, it was the opposite of giving birth. She was being weaned. After a couple of hours, the trainers came back around with a new Gabriel, laughing and enjoying the men's company. He didn't run to his mother or resume his crying. To our amazement, from that moment on, the umbilical cord was dried up, and we had a little boy whose world was larger than his mother's arms. Huh. And I had my wife back. The next boy was soon on the way. But he did not come to be an extension of his mother's self-image. As the wheel turns, when we babysit for other people, it is always on the condition that we have full liberty to discipline and train. We try to be realistic and use discretion in determining what can be effectively accomplished in the time allotted. We consider the child's trust in us, his or her acquaintance with our technique, the parent's sensitivity, and the child's emotional state. On one occasion, Deb was keeping a mixed group of about 10 children and babies, all from 4 different families attending a seminar. One couple's first child, about 15 months old, was highly overindulged and showed it. He had been trained to expect constant catering and pacifying. He was missing his mother servant and was complaining. It was not just the usual, "I'm sad and lonesome, want someone love me," kind of whimpering. His crying said, "I'm mad as all get out. Things are not going my way. Where is my mama anyway? I'm going to make everyone pay for this treatment. This will be a night they will not want to repeat. I'll see to it. Just try to stop me." Deb put all the children up on the table for a snack. After a couple of minutes, the little fellow began to pout. He didn't like the food or the company. He got down and began to complain. Giving him more leeway than we would have one of our own, my wife handed him a potato chip, for which he had previously shown delight. True to his attitude, he defiantly threw it on the floor. My ever-patient wife, who was also quite busy, picked him up and placed him in a big soft chair, handing him a brightly colored roller skate. She took a moment to show him what fun it was to hold it upside down and turn the wheels. "See? Turn the wheels," she said. With defiance, he turned his face away. This otherwise sweet child had developed, rather his parents had trained, a selfish and rebellious spirit. If left to himself, he would bring shame to his mother. My wife always had a special fondness for this child, and it hurt her to see him developing such a nasty attitude. She decided it was showdown time. She ignored the other children, who were happily investigating and rearranging everything on the table, and quickly obtained her switch, 12 inches long and about the diameter of a small noodle. She again placed the skate in front of him and gently and playfully said, "Turn the wheels." Again, he defiantly turned his head away, whimpering. She again demonstrated the fun of rolling the wheels and repeated the command. Again, defiance. This time, being assured he fully understood it to be a command, she placed his hand on the wheels, repeated the command, and when no obedience followed, she switched his leg. Again, in a mild but firm voice, she commanded him to turn the wheels. Self-will dies hard. My wife brought other children over to demonstrate the fun of wheel turning. Pulling his hand as far from the skate as possible, he covered his right hand with his left. apparently to reinforce his resolve or to demonstrate it, and to refuse to turn the wheels. After about 10 acts of stubborn defiance, followed by 10 switchings, he surrendered his will to one higher than himself. In rolling the wheels, he did what every human being must do. He humbled himself before the highest authority and admitted that his interests are not paramount. After one begrudged roll, my wife turned to other chores. A few minutes later, she noticed he was turning the wheels and laughing with the other children, with whom he had previously shown only disdain. The surly attitude was all gone. In its place was contentment, thankfulness, and a fellowship with his peers. The rod had lived up to its biblical promise. Obviously, Deb was not concerned that the wheels on the skate got rolled. The task she urged upon him had no practical purpose other than training. She trained his mind to respect authority. She trained his will to accept discipline. The beautiful thing about a session like this is that it has ramifications for all areas of the child's life. The child has just one will, which, when it is surrendered to authority on any point, is always a surrendered will.